That's who Jesus is. He's here. He's here in John 8. He's arrived. And what do we do with him? I am the light of the world, he says. Wow. What do we do about this? This is right in the middle of my real life. This is very inconvenient. I got kids. I got business. I got things to do. So I have to stop and think about this? God never does anything very conveniently for us, unfortunately. He sends his Messiah right into the world, right into the middle of the busyness. Paul describes it this way later. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6, "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of the darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory that is displayed in the face of Christ." The psalmist says, "Let the light of your face shine upon us, O Lord." Jesus was that light. And when we saw him and we met him, those who were called to be his children understood what those signs meant. So when he said to that man, "Get up and walk," it wasn't just, oh, he's not thinking that this is the Sabbath. He is the Lord of the Sabbath. And that man is here today, and he needs help today, and I'm helping him today. That's what God does. So Jesus is the light of the world. He is, as the light of the world, he is the dispeller of darkness. You see, this theme of light is all the way through John. When you study a topic like light, you don't just look at everywhere it talks about light. You do that. But where you start, you study in concentric rings. You look at all the things John says about light in his gospel, and then you look at the other things that John writes. You look at his letters, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and you look at the Revelation. John is a major writer in the New Testament, and he wrote most of what he wrote pretty late. And so he's got some perspective now as an old man looking back that some of the other Gospels didn't have yet. John probably had Matthew, Mark, and Luke in some form in his hand when he wrote this Gospel of John. And so he knows that they've got the whole story about all that happened up in the Galilee pretty well nailed down. And so John spends his whole Gospel talking about their holiday trips. Because the only reason they ever went to Jerusalem, because they weren't residents of that city, was to go to the holidays. And that's what the Gospel of John is about. Is what Jesus did there at the Passover, what he did there at Tabernacles, what he did there at Hanukkah. And so Jesus is the dispeller of darkness, says the Gospel of John, back in chapter 3, way before this story where we are now. In chapter 3, John writes this. Jesus is telling us, "Now this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men loved darkness instead of light." Do you believe that? Yes, I do. There are certain parts of my life that have happened that I didn't want to come out into the light. I have had to learn to walk in the light with Jesus. It's a scary, terrifying thing. We'd like to keep some of our stuff hidden. "Men loved the darkness instead of the light because their deeds were evil." Verse 20 in chapter 3. "For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come into the light, so that their deeds will not be exposed." And therein, that is the place that you see political hypocrisy. We talk about someone's rights, You have the right to do this, but we don't want to discuss the fact that it completely violates somebody else's rights, like maybe even the right to have a life, if we're talking about aborting babies. We keep that part in the dark. But he finishes up in verse 21, chapter 3. But whoever practices the truth comes to the light so that it may be known that his deeds have been accomplished in God. The only way to walk in the light is to walk with God. Because I got a lot of stuff that needs to stay in the closet where it's dark. We need to walk with him in such a way that we can just be in the light. And we don't have to worry about if someone's tracking us or somebody's watching us, because I got nothing to hide. Can you say that? I can say that, but there are days when I'm better at it than other days. Jesus dispels darkness. And that is an awesome, fearsome thing. He's not judging. He's just showing you, this is it. This is your real life. This is what I really know about you. I know everything about you. Oh, yeah. I don't want him to know everything about me. He does. And he still loves me. And he died so that I could be forgiven those things and so that I could get to the place where I actually want to walk in the light. Jesus dispels darkness. Jesus also, on the other side of that, illuminates life. Let's back up even further in John, into the first chapter. John chapter 1, verse 4. In him, that is in Jesus, was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overpowered it. That is great news. He goes on. Now there came a man sent from God whose name was John. That's John the Baptizer. He came as a witness to testify about the light so that through him everyone might believe. Now John was not the light, but he came to bear witness concerning the light, that is to say Jesus. The true light coming into the world gives light to every human being. So Jesus is willing to give us light. The question is, do we want the light? And that is not an easy question. It's a real life question. Are you willing to follow him and to live your life in such a way that it will be illuminated by him? He will light it up and show it off to the world. This is my servant who follows me. Not perfect, but willing to stand in the light. Jesus illuminates life. Jesus, finally, this, he reveals truth. Now that's along the same lines as illuminating my life. He reveals truth. Let's move in the Gospel of John forward of this place where he says, I am the light of the world. Let's move to chapter 12, where he has entered the city of Jerusalem. He has just healed and raised from the dead Lazarus. And people are making their final last call on Jesus about who he is. John chapter 12 and verse 35. Then Jesus said to them, and he's talking to the crowds in Jerusalem, who it says they believed him, but Jesus didn't have any faith in their faith. He wouldn't spend the night there in the city. He hid from them. Jesus said to them, the light is with you for a little longer, very little. While you have the light, walk while you have the light, so that the darkness will not overtake you. The one who walks in darkness doesn't know where he's going. And that's so true, isn't it? If we walk in darkness, we don't know where we're going. We're just hoping something works out okay. But I just want the comfort of the darkness so I can do my little things. I was just talking with Daniel before the service about this epidemic of drug addiction we have now going on in our country. And people just can't get out. They're afraid to get away from that drug. It's hard. They're afraid of the pain of getting off of it, of withdrawing, and they're also afraid of being just away from the high they get, and sometimes they don't even get a high anymore. They just don't want the pain. They're afraid to deal with life, and so they stay in the murky shadows, and they hope that something will happen, something will come along. Jesus says, the one who walks in darkness does not know where he's going. While you have the light, he says, verse 36, while you have the light, believe in the light so that you may become sons and daughters of light. That is great. Somebody wants us to be sons and daughters of light. Is that a good deal? Yes. He's offering that to us. We got to come out of the shadows. We got to come to him. Jesus spoke these things and then left and hid himself from them. He didn't trust them. It says in the text that they believed in him, but he didn't believe in them. Now, as we move out from John, Jesus says in Matthew's writing in his gospel, you are the light of the world. He says that of us. You are the light of the world. He shines through us. He says, don't put your light under a basket. I don't want to embarrass anybody. I don't want to embarrass myself. I don't want to feel bad. I don't want to be obnoxious. Jesus says, be obnoxious. It doesn't matter whether you're trying to be obnoxious or not. If people don't want light, they're going to think you're obnoxious. Make it their problem. Jesus reveals truth, and he's doing it now through his people, through the sons and daughters of light. And so that's why we have all these things going on. We have My World lists. We've got a stack of them in the narthex. If you haven't filled one out lately and needed to update it, if you don't know what it is, we want to be real intentional about paying attention to what God's doing in our own lives. So all of us probably have a group of people, maybe 8 to 15 people, that we actually know and deal with on a day-to-day basis. And so we want to say, God, I acknowledge that these people are in my life because you put them there, and so I want to pray for them every day. I want to learn to love them like you love them, because I'm not quite there yet with some of them. I want you to bless them through me. I want you to make me the light of my world before you make me the light of all the rest of the world. Let me light up the world that you've given me already. We get a chance to be light in this world. You can look at some of the opportunities we have here on the inside of the bulletin. We've just taken up our annual faith promise for missions, sending light out everywhere. And we're still collecting those up next week or so. If you would get those in, if you were planning to do that and weren't here for the missions conference, do that. Our faith pledges to renew our building facility and make it more accommodating to young families, and make it more accommodating to the ministry that's going on right now. Be part of that. And if you've made a faith pledge, then start writing checks. And if you were thinking about it but decided maybe I need to be part of this, then that is shining light. We're shining light from where we are. There is a vitality workshop. It says strategy workshop on here, and it's the last of a series of workshops that we've been doing that has brought us to this place where we're talking about how we show light to the community. Well, that's going to be happening on the evening of the 17th, which is a Friday night, 17th of November, starting at 7 o'clock. We're going to be meeting with Craig Gammelgaard and Peter Tolson from the denomination, continuing this conversation. We were in Minneapolis a year ago, a bunch of us, talking about these very things. What is it that God has got for our church right now? Without living in the past, without just dreaming about the future, but really living now and doing what God has. So plan to be part of that strategy workshop. 7 on Friday evening for an hour or two, and then Saturday morning at 9 o'clock for 2 or 3 hours. And we want to figure out one or two things that we as a congregation are actually going to do in the next year. So we need your input. And some people have got little interviews that they're making here, there, and everywhere. And if you're interested in putting in your 10 cents worth, come and see me, and I will write down your answers to some questions that we're asking about how to make this place better, what you love about it, and all those kinds of things. So plan to be part of that workshop. Put that on your calendar. Please be there. Pastor Dave is getting together some opportunities to give food to kids that are getting school lunches from the school all week long. We're putting together food packets to send with them for the weekend. So we're working with the academy to do that, and we want to continue that ministry and see where that goes. All of the international students, that a number of them that we met this last year, have all been moved to their South Campus now and are living in dormitories. That's a different situation, and I'm sure that there are some opportunities there for us to help some kids that are halfway around the world living in a dormitory situation, and they're probably going to stay in those dormitories until people come and invite them out and let them go back into some home situations and get some home-cooked food and that sort of thing, and a chance to go and practice their English. Those are outreach opportunities that we've already started and that we need to continue. That is the light that God is shining through us. And there are a bunch of other things going on, some other ideas. We need those ideas at the strategy workshop. So please plan to be part of that. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And then he says, you are the light of the world. He's putting it on us. We are Jesus' light in this world. And what a glory that is, and what a responsibility at the same time. So let's continue walking as light bearers in this world. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for being our light. We thank you that you have brought us from light unto brighter and brighter light in our own lives, where we're not hiding from ourselves anymore, and we're hiding less and less from the world around us, and we're just not hiding from you either, because we really can't. And so we ask that you would make us truly and really sons and daughters of light. And we'll thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.